Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
You know that song, you mentioned she had an interest in war, and I don't know what war she was interested in.
A bunch of them.
But it sounded kind of like a march. And it reminded me of some of the songs they used to sing during World War II. I don't know why, just some of those patriotic march songs. You know, better to have a spiritual message, but in that sense. So. All right. Well, let's pray, and then I'll share with you what we're going to do tonight, okay? Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that as we hear it and read it and meditate on it tonight, that your spirit would work again in our midst, that we would have a greater appreciation for the incarnation, for all that you did in the fullness of time, for all that you've accomplished in sending your Son to not only die for us, but to live a sinless life, to be born into this world as a man, to grow up as a child and become a man, and to live a sinless life, and then to give himself as a man for us in payment for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We just pray that you would bless our time together, and may it be an edifying time, may it be an encouraging time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to look at exactly what it says, the Christmas story. And I'm going to do things a little different. You know me, that I usually come and teach. Every message I either preach or teach or both. And tonight I'm going to be more of a narrator, okay? I am going to be reading the scripture, but we're going to have the scripture on the screen, and we're going to let the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament writers, all of whom I think you are very much familiar with, we're going to let them speak to our hearts through the Word of God tonight. And just consider all the Lord has done, and we're not going to be able to look at every single verse in the Bible concerning the incarnation, but we will look at some. And this is the first time I've done this tonight, so you're the guinea pigs, that you're on trial here. I just to give credit where credit is due, I'm not responsible for most of the artwork. There's a company called Rose Publishing that puts out many good PowerPoint presentations, and I've taken one of their presentations and customized it and put my own twist on it, our own spin in terms of the verses I wanted, the versions, and different things there. So that's kind of what that's about. I wish I could tell you that I drew that beautiful title page. I don't have that kind of talent at all. One moment. Speaking through the ancient prophets, God foretold how he would bring his beloved Son into the world. The birth of the Lord Jesus took place in an historical setting that the prophets foretold. The underlying story of his genealogy in itself was a divine masterpiece of intrigue, suspense, and prophetic fulfillment. But the quiet events of that first Christmas morning so long ago have become commonplace in our modern traditions. Wise men and shepherds are familiar Christmas symbols as they gather around the tender baby who lies in a manger, while a chorus of angels proclaims the Lord's goodwill to mankind. But how did the prophets envision this story? What hopes had they formed in the hearts of men, and what is the hope to which we look? Let the story unfold afresh between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament writers. What we're going to do tonight is look at the birth of Christ from four perspectives. His advent, his first coming, from four perspectives: the advent of hope, the advent of peace, the advent of joy, and the advent of love. First, the advent of hope. In the fullness of time, God sent the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, a humble Levite priest who ministered before God at the temple in Jerusalem. Appearing in a vision, the angel foretold the birth of John the Baptist, who would be sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." And with the coming of his forerunner, the first stirring of the Messiah's own coming was announced. Luke 1:17 says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This statement echoed a prophecy of 460 years earlier. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So for many centuries, the promise of the Messiah had tarried. But now that ancient hope was renewed and a sense of anticipation awakened. For the opening steps had begun. The Messiah was coming at last, and the world would be forever changed. Prophecies, long dormant, were springing to life before their eyes. In the sixth month, the angel was sent again, this time to a young virgin named Mary, who was espoused to Joseph of the house of David. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And in greeting her, he spoke of the favor she had found with God. "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." In Mary's genealogy, the seed of David had been preserved, and through her espoused husband Joseph, the claim to David's kingdom, which had fallen long ago. And in the child she would bear, the two parts of God's ancient covenant would come together again in one person at last. Psalm 89:3 and 4 says, "I have made my covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations." The angel told how the child would inherit the throne of David, his earthly forefather. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But Mary was confused by this proclamation. How could the angel speak of her giving birth when she was still a virgin? How shall this be? She asked. So the angel foretold the virgin birth to her. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary arose in those days and went into hill country. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. For 3 months, Mary stayed with her cousin Elizabeth, to whom John the Baptist would be born. And when she returned to Joseph in Nazareth, her pregnancy was beginning to show. Joseph, not understanding what had taken place, naturally suspected the worst and considered ending the betrothal. But being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to do this quietly. Matthew tells us, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary unto thee. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. As Isaiah prophesied, hear ye now, O house of David, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The angel of the Lord said, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Again, Isaiah foretold, The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Isaiah 49:1. The angel declared, For he will save his people from their sins. And again, Isaiah the prophet, The Lord formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We also have the advent of peace. You know, in a world full of trouble and doubt, much like our own world today, human hearts yearned for peace, yet it ever eluded them. For true peace begins with God, and it was well beyond their means to achieve it. Comfort and joy, darkness and dread, hung together in the balance, and only the Lord Himself could tip the scales in our favor. On behalf of lowly man came a lowly yet sinless Savior to redeem us all and bring forgiveness and our reconciliation with God. In times of great peril, the peace He gave us would arise from within Himself, the nation stirred with trouble as His coming drew near. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Micah 5:2 says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. But when they came to Bethlehem, no room was made for them at the inn. We're told in Luke chapter 2, So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Isaiah the prophet wrote, The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider or understand. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. This shining glory Isaiah foretold, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over thee, and his glory will be seen upon thee. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This fulfilled the words of Isaiah. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine what she must have thought? So we've had the advent, we've seen the advent of hope, the advent of peace. The next, we might look at the advent or coming of joy. The advent of joy. The coming of the Messiah would challenge every man. Some who love the things of this world would fear and oppose him, nurturing ungodly desires in their hearts, while others longed for the day of his coming and the joyous new life he would bring. For those having such a hope, the shining of a star meant the rising of a king, full of truth and grace, who would one day rule the world in righteousness forever. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. As Isaiah said, hundreds of years prior, the Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Another prophecy fulfilled. And the wise men came before Herod, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. When Herod, the king, heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Psalm 2 tells us the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Quoting from the prophet Micah's writings, around 700 B.C., the chief priests and scribes told King Herod that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So Herod secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, and set them under a pretense, saying this, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. But his real intention was to slay the Christ child. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh. In Psalm 72, we read this, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him, and he shall live. And to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. The horses of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall shew forth the praises of the Lord. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, the wise men departed into their own country another way. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. I called my son out of Egypt, Hosea. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. Numbers 24 tells us. The advent of hope, the advent of peace, the advent of joy, and the advent of love. In our modern understanding of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus was a touching event with barnyard animals and the shepherds' adoration. But from another perspective, the countdown of his life was on. For ultimately, God had sent this child into the world for a greater purpose. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus had been born through a virgin by the Spirit of God, making him both the Son of God and the Son of Man, which put him in a completely unique position. Being fully human, he could be tempted in every way as we, and touched with our feelings and infirmities. Yet being fully divine as well, he could, and did, overcome every trial in life. This makes him our champion in a very special way. Because Jesus never sinned, he could offer his life in the place of sinners. But it would take all of his love for this to happen. His soul was greatly troubled, and he agonized over the sacrifice he would make. But though the cost was truly great, his care for us was greater still, so that he gave himself freely to redeem us all. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But he was wounded, Isaiah says, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the same passage offers a challenge. Isaiah 53:1 says, Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For God requires each of us to believe the testimony that he has given of his Son and to put our trust in him. Jesus has loved us with an everlasting love and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This message of love is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. After Jesus died, he rose again on the third day, as the prophets foretold. After his resurrection, he appeared to many witnesses who had seen the prophecies come true in him. Many of them wrote accounts of his life, of his loving sacrifice and his resurrection, and what he meant to us through these. As the Christmas season unfolds, and Christmas Day draws near, it's only 11 days off, folks, right? Our sense of anticipation awakens. While the world falls deeper into darkness, the true light is already shining in our hearts. Our risen Savior ascended into heaven, and we again wait in hope, that confident expectation of his imminent return. With the inner peace and joy he gives, we look to a day when he will wipe away all of our tears, and we will know a love that is perfected in his presence forever. We close with this verse, Revelation 22. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray for a moment, but we're not quite done. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for these words. Just the simple, straightforward message from the Word of God. The Scriptures. Very little comment or explanation. For Father, your Word speaks for itself. And it is alive and it is powerful. And Lord, in your Word and through your Word, you have saved our souls. Oh, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight that does not know the Savior, the Son of God, that he or she would place their trust in him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.